Ramsey TV.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, another week of broadcast excellence, if I don't mind saying so, and I don't. This is your friend, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula, also known as Fort Lauderdale. You got to watch yesterday's video, but if you didn't, that's okay. I'm going to broadcast it again Friday. Now, look, I'm not always going to do this. I don't want to rob you of an original show every Friday. I don't plan on doing that. But this video, it blew my mind again. It's some original research into the word twinkle from 1 Corinthians 15, which should be changed in an instant in the twinkle of an eye. Okay, I got a lot to say about this. I made a video about it. No, I didn't. I gave a presentation in Grand Rapids, Michigan, back in 1996 on this topic. This is, as much as I respect the Concordant version, this is one of the worst translations in the version. Twinkle. What the heck is a twinkle? All right, now you're going to get some original content on Friday because I'm going to give a short introduction to it. I don't want to do that now. I'll do it on Friday, but I want to rebroadcast it on Friday. Again, I'm not going to do this all the time, but people need to see this. This is so, it's really intensely scriptural. It's moving. It's revelatory, and it's about the snatching away, the greatest upcoming event on God's calendar, the next big thing. I'm going to talk about that today, too, the next big thing. I'm going to encourage you all to walk toward it. Don't look back. Don't set your hand to the plow and look back and worry about everything, things you have no control over. All right. As I said, welcome to the show. There's a link down here to yesterday's video if you haven't seen it. And when I broadcast it again Friday, watch it again. Send it to people. This is original research into the Greek word translated twinkle in the Concordant version. Does anyone know what a twinkle really is? Sounds like a Santa Claus story or something having to do with Tinkerbell. All right. We are walking toward an amazing event. The first time the human beings will be made immortal, with the exception, of course, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was the first one to be made immortal, but God is going to send men and women into space. That's what's going to happen. Men and women and children who believe the evangel of Paul, of the gospel of the grace of God, are going to be taken beyond outer space into reaches where human beings, as presently constituted, could not survive. This is why we have to be changed. And as you found out from last week's Friday video, yeah, as you found out there, it is essential for us to be changed. And the snatching away, i.e. our change, is but a preliminary step to seating us in the place of our glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. An amazing revelation. You can't make this up. Paul is so clear in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. People don't believe it because it's so fantastic, but it's not because Paul failed to explain it well. So I know that we're all concerned about our loved ones, myself included. I made a video a few weeks ago called Everything is Doomed. And we're living in the days of Noah, days like those of Noah's day, our Lord said that. The analogy being that generation was looking down the barrel, though they knew it not, of wholesale destruction. But we are looking through this time. The time is called the tribulation. It's a sharp 7-year period. Really, only 3.5 is the worst part of it, that leads to a 1,000-year kingdom. Do you remember the verse where Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem? He set his face. It was time to walk. It was time to go to the cross. And he adapted a tunnel vision. And he was walking out this terrible walk to do his father's will. And I believe occupying his mind was all the people he was going to bless, the work he was going to do, the sins of humanity he was going to take away, the reconciliation of the universe that would be built on the work he would do at Calvary. But see, we are in a much better place because we are also walking with faces set like flint towards something. But it's not a crucifixion. It's not a horrible, traumatic death. No, it is. We're walking toward glory. We're walking toward finally being constituted righteous, not just declared so, although it is great to be declared righteous, but to be constituted such and to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to see all the dead in Christ, and to rise with Christ as he takes us level after level after level, ascending glory, glory upon glory. But here we are, and it's a frustrating time because we feel like so near and yet so far. I know, like, how are you going to get through another day? I know. I've used an analogy before, and I think it's appropriate now. You may have heard me say this at a conference. I believe I said it in Missouri. But the analogy I'm thinking of is the Apollo astronauts who were locked into the crew cabin of a Saturn V rocket ready to be shot into space. Now, please do me the kindness. Please don't anybody write me about NASA is fake and we never went to the moon or the moon is not real. It's being projected into the sky from a warehouse in Silicon Valley. If that's what you believe, fine. Okay, but just roll with me here. Please don't write me about it. Please, I beg you. I'm your friend. Please. I ask you. So back to my analogy. When those men went up that elevator into the crew capsule, that giant Saturn V rocket, the technicians belted them in, locked them in, and then slammed that door, cranked it shut, and then they ran the hell away from that rocket. Everybody had to be like 3 miles away from that thing. That's how dangerous it was. And yet these men were sitting on top of it, on their backs, looking up. And that's us. Now let me ask you, on the day of the launch, do you think any of the men or women, if you're talking about the space shuttle days, do you believe any of those people were at that time during the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, do you think any of them were thinking about the argument they had with their husband or wife that day? Or do you think any of them were thinking about, oh man, I shouldn't have said that to my neighbor when he threw his leaves into my yard? Do you think any of them were worried about that they weren't sticking to their exercise program? Or do you think any of them were reviewing their regrets from childhood or mourning the fact that their parents weren't everything that they could be or that they did something to screw up their marriage? No, it was all gone. It was all faded away because all their focus was on that moment. And this was our Lord going to the cross. And any astronaut in such a, I call it a predicament, everything falls away, and your total focus and concentration is on that countdown. And you know that everybody's with you. You know that everybody is rooting for you, praying for you, and you know that you're doing something great and something good. Now, I want you to think that way because we have been strapped into a capsule. Folks, what is going to happen is inevitable. It has to happen. Kind of reminds me, forgive me, another analogy, kind of reminds me of Grace Cafe in Cleveland when we did, my friends and I did live radio, live call-in radio. When they closed that door of Studio B and the countdown began, and Ricardo Johnson from the control booth gave us the go signal. It's like, you're locked in and you have to say something. You're on, and you have to talk for 2 hours, and you're so focused. I loved that job. I loved it because the focus was incredible, and you couldn't afford to think of any of your problems, any of your failures. It was go time. Ladies and gentlemen, for us, it's go time. And I know we're concerned about our loved ones who will be left behind. But I must tell you this. We are coming back for them. But right now, we're the next big thing. You have to focus on your call. I'm not saying you ignore your loved ones. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you have to hold loosely. It's go time. And we're focusing on the scriptures. We're focusing on our expectation. And we know that we have to be perfected before the completion of the universe can begin. It's another series of dominoes. I talked about the dominoes from Romans 8:30. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls, whom he calls, these he justifies, whom he justifies, these he glorifies. Well, the completion of the universe completed in Christ does not begin until Christ is completed, and we are the completion of Christ. And we know that all creation is groaning, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. So it all depends on us, relatively speaking, but in a very real sequential time element way, as time is progressing, it's the next thing. This, what is going to happen with us has to happen before anything else can happen. And so the people who maybe you really don't want to leave or you can't wait to leave, doesn't matter which, I guess, it's still that same angst kind of, they need you. They need you, though they don't realize it. They need you. The people who are watching Christ drag his cross to Calvary, they needed him to do that. Even the Roman soldiers who were leading him, not in a nice way, to the cross. They needed him to do that, and he needed to focus. He couldn't focus on, all these people are being mean to me. Couldn't think that. He couldn't think, crap, this is going to be hard. He had to focus on the task at hand, put his head down or up, looking toward his Father, and go, because he was coming back for everybody. What he was going to do was so important. Nobody understood it while he was doing it. That's the thing. Nobody understood it while he was doing it. Nobody understands what you are doing while you are doing it. Most of your friends, your family members, they're ignorant of what's happening with you. But it has to happen for them. Because nothing happens without this. You understand that? This is the domino that tips the other dominoes. When we're changed, made perfect, we are joined with our head, Christ. That is the first domino that will lead to the completion of everything, to the reconciliation of the universe to God. Well, that's down the road, though. Before that, Israel can't do anything until we're snatched away. So they're on hold until we are changed. All creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation can't be delivered from this thraldom to death and decay without us. So it's like they're all looking at us. They're all waiting for us, though they know it not. And this really, it doesn't put any pressure on you. Because, I mean, you're already locked in. The door, the latch is sealed. You're in. And everybody else is running the hell away from that rocket. They're running the hell away. And you're alone, sitting on top of that rocket. But it's focus time. You need to remind yourself that it's for them. It's for your loved ones. See, you have to be kind of hard-minded in a way. It's for them, though they don't understand it now. It's for them. They need you to do this. They need you just to go. They need you to do it. I'll never forget something Ray Prinzing said. Ray Prinzing, he was a Kingdom guy, but I listened to him in my formative years, and he really taught me a lot about the salvation of all and the sovereignty of God. But he was talking about a raging river, And he said, sometimes I feel like a raging river. It's just like, I'm going toward God. I'm going toward God. And this was Christ on his way to Calvary. I'm going toward God. And nobody could talk to him then. Nobody could fellowship with him, really. He was so single-minded. He was like, I'm going to go. I got to go. I got to do this like the raging river. And Ray said, a raging river is really no good to anybody. It just goes. But when the water reaches the sea, it can bear the largest of sea-going vessels. In other words, once we get into God, then we can do so much more than we can do now. What we can do now is so limited. But when we get to where we're going, so it's not like sometimes we're not very helpful. You don't feel very helpful now. People think, oh, you're too heavenly-minded to be any earthly good. Your head's in the clouds. Okay, yeah, well, we're staring up on the back of a Saturn V here, folks. We're laying on our backs on the top of a Saturn V. And nobody else knows what's going on. They're all running the hell away. That looks dangerous. Let's get out of here. Let's go back to church. These people don't have the comfort of church. They don't have the comfort of fellowship. Now let's get the hell out of here. This thing's going to blow. Yeah, this thing's going to blow. But you can't be changed, person who criticizes us, until this thing blows. You see? And the universe can't be reconciled to God for God to become all in all until this thing goes up, baby. Until this thing goes up, baby. So you have to remember that. Don't feel selfish. It's ultimately for them. This is what our Lord thought as he's going to the cross. It's ultimately for the people who are killing me here and the people who are mocking me. It's ultimately for them. They will see. I'm coming back for them, and they will see. We're coming back for them, and they will see, and then they will know, oh, my God, what pressure you must have been under then. I'm sorry we didn't help you anymore. Yeah, me too. Sorry, just terrible, but you did it anyway. Your mind was focused. You were single and pure toward Christ, toward your calling. They will laud us for that. They will thank us for it, and they will apologize profusely like the brothers of Joseph did. It's like, oh, we didn't help you too much, did we? Well, actually, yeah, Joseph said, you helped me because you persecuted the crap out of me. You actually did me a great favor, and you did the world a great favor. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. There you go. So I want you to stay focused. Keep listening to this show or other shows, of course, that promote the truth, that we'll never let you forget your expectation. I'll never let you forget the expectation. I'll be talking about the snatching away often. Not only for us, not only for what it will do for us and what it will eventually do for the rest of humanity and the rest of all the beings, all the created beings in the universe, but also what it does for God and Christ. Because once we're changed, then begins the work of God becoming all in all.